Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, I'm still, to this very minute, kind of basking in what last week meant. I haven't gotten over it yet. I spent my whole weekend show on it, talked about it on Friday. Supreme Court handed down one more decision earlier today defending religious liberty. You heard about that coach that was out in Oregon, prayed on the football field, got fired because some opposing team's parent complained that he was mixing faith and state and some because he prayed on a football field. Supreme Court said, nope, go pound sand. He gets to pray. And that's going to set precedent as well. But if there was a secondary case that came down last week or in this court session that was almost as big as Roe v. Wade or the Dobbs decision, it was the decision the day before penned by Clarence Thomas and affirmed by six corresponding justices on the court. And it's all about Second Amendment here in New York. We know the case because it came from here. But there are some significant things that this case brings out. And I wanted to turn to an expert. And Amy Swearer is the legal fellow at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. And she specializes in gun-related issues. And we've talked to her in the past. Amy, it's good to have you back. So I think immediately a lot of people said, oh, okay, the ruling applies to New York. But there are people, a lot of people that listen to the sound of my voice in the state of New Jersey today. And I have relatives that listen to the show in California every day. And a handful of other states that still have these may issue instead of shall issue wordings in their gun laws. And I'm just curious, Amy Swearer, what does the Supreme Court's decision in the New York case mean to those people? How far does it reach? What's the confines? What's the parameters of this? I saw a thing on Facebook or on Instagram last night said the Attorney General of California has already issued a corrective in what they are allowed to do. So give me the full scale on this.
Yeah, so I'm actually glad you pointed this out because this is not just confined to New York. It's actually roughly six states that the court points out specifically. Including, like you said, California, Hawaii, New Jersey, for those in the D.C. area, it's Maryland, where these states have essentially for a long time said, well, you don't really have a right to bear arms outside the home for self-defense. It's more of a privilege that we reserve for a select few who we think, you know, have shown what they call sufficient good cause above and beyond what I would just like to defend myself. And what that has meant in reality for tens of millions of Americans is their Second Amendment right has been limited. They really did not have a Second Amendment right outside of the home to bear arms. And so what you're seeing now is not just in New York, but again, in these other six states, these attorney generals are coming out with these opinions. And it will take time because they will actually have to change the laws. But for individuals in this state, the court has said, no, look, these states cannot do this anymore. You have to have some method of allowing ordinary citizens to bear arms outside the home. They did not say, you know, you need to go to permitless carry. In fact, they explicitly said, you know, we are going to presume that what are known as shall issue states that require, you know, permits where you can go and you can obtain the permit, but there is some method to actually obtain that as an ordinary citizen. That, you know, I think that's what you're going to see are these six states.
I hear what you're saying. Let me just play complete devil's advocate, because I think this is what I'm going to be surprised if one of these six states, particularly New Jersey, doesn't try to get away with this. Sure. OK, sure. We hear you, Supreme Court. We're going to move it to a shall issue. And our shall issue is going to be under the same exact ramifications that our may issue was issued under. What prevents them in this ruling from doing that?
Well, I think a couple of things. Certainly as a practical matter, they could. And I think you might see a state like New York theoretically try to cut it as narrowly as possible to say, OK, we'll give you a permit, but, you know, you can't carry on public transportation or within 1,000 yards of, you know, a whole slew of places. And you might see that. Now, what the court did say to sort of, you know, warn states against this is, look, if you try to do shall issue in a way that they refer to as abusive, you know, basically don't make us come back here, right? Don't make us come back after you, states. But it is possible you might see states try to do that. In fact, I would anticipate, based on what you've seen out of New York, you might get that. But I think the way the court has written this opinion sort of foresaw that. And I think it's written broadly enough that if you see states in the future try to abuse it in a profound way, you know, above and beyond what you see in some of the more restrictive, shall issue states currently, I think you will see the court take this back up and sort of, you know, wave their hand at those states and say, no, we told you, we really mean it. You have to go to shall issue. You have to allow ordinary citizens to defend themselves in public.
It's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because I think that we've got a test of powers that's going to be coming up. I've lived in the New York tri-state area long enough now that I know that these two states in particular really, you know, would like to just tell everybody else to just go, you know, pound sand. They don't really care what anybody else thinks. And that's why I want to know what the enforcement mechanism is for the court to get the states to comport. I'm guessing some of that might be that citizens could seek to do litigation against the state in, you know, along those lines and force the state's hand, so to speak.
Right. And this is to an extent what we saw in the District of Columbia after a 2017 case where the D.C.'s permitting laws were struck down, and that's why D.C. went to shall issue, where eventually, you know, the district tried to fight it, and they realized we're just spending a whole lot of money to lose in court repeatedly. And so I think, again, you might sort of see this struggle at first, but I think it will play out very similarly to what we saw in D.C., where after a while they will sort of capitulate. You know, citizens will slowly realize, oh, okay, I can get a permit. It will be okay. It is very restrictive. You know, you want to be careful not to violate some of the carry laws. But on the whole, I think you will, over the next couple of years, see this. Because, again, these were a minority of states. And I think that's important to keep in mind. It's tens of millions of Americans, but it's a minority of states. There are a plethora of frameworks for these states to choose from. And if they choose to, you know, go down that road of wanting to continually battle this in court, I think they're going to find they will continue losing, and it will just cost them money, and they will eventually say, it's just not worth it. Fine, here's your carry permit, and they'll go to a D.C.-style standard.
How has that worked out for the nation's capital?
Well, so it's still not very cheap or easy. It is fairly expensive and time-consuming, but you can, as an ordinary citizen, jump through those hoops. And what you've seen over the last couple of years, but especially at the start of the pandemic, are, you know, people who never thought, you know, even in D.C., I don't need one. You've seen now a lot more growth in terms of people going for their concealed carry permits. You know, and at least as far as I'm aware, you know, there hasn't been some huge issue, again, at least as far as I'm aware, with, right, you know, permit holders being arrested. But again, it certainly has never been permit holders and lawful gun owners who were the problem in the first place.
To begin with, exactly. That was the whole point of all of this. It was like, you're going to let the criminals have all the guns they can possibly obtain, but you're not going to do a thing about letting everyday, you know, lunch bucket Joe and Susie do what they need to do to protect themselves. So glad that the court did. What a great exclamation point on a very big court session for the Supreme Court this year. Amy Swearer of Heritage Foundation, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.